I want to welcome everybody back after summer hiatus. Welcome. And,
So let me
talk a little bit about what the plan is, Be'ezus Hashem, for this coming coming semester, you know, for this coming year. After giving some different possibilities of thought in terms of what to learn, I settled on learning the Sefer Ahavas Chesed, love of loving kindness, which is authored by the Chofetz Chaim. So let's just a word or two about the Sefer, then we'll talk about getting the Sefer, and then we'll actually start learning the Sefer. That's the best way to do things. As we know, the Chofetz Chaim, when you saw Meir HaKohen Kagan, passed away in 1933, the tzaddik of Radin, the Gadol HaDor, it's fair to say. As we know, he was a prolific author. I mean, besides being a tzaddik and a gaon and somebody who, again, there are the reports that in the years leading up to the Holocaust, he was already telling people that he foresaw that the Holocaust was on the way. In addition to all those other incredible attributes that he had, he wrote, you know, he was a prolific author. He wrote an incredible number of Sfarim. People know, of course, the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer on Lashon Hara, and his other famous Sefer is Mishneh Berurah, right? The, probably the most famous halacha Sefer. People can't move without consulting the Mishneh Berurah. But there's a whole set of Sfarim that the Chofetz Chaim wrote on various different topics. Many of them in the same style as Chofetz Chaim, where again, his style was to present ideas that were actually very, very complicated, but in very, very simple, straightforward prose, you know, so that a person could read them on a very simple level, and also read them on a deeper level as well. One of the Sfarim, again, one of the famous Sfarim that the Chofetz Chaim wrote, was a Sefer called Ahavas Chesed, loving kindness, the love of kindness, which, as the Sefer would indicate, is the Sefer all about chesed, about the, you know, the attributes of love and kindness. It's, part of it is halacha. He goes through the laws that relate to certain types of chesed. Specifically, he talks about the laws involved in lending people money, the laws of tzedakah, the laws in not paying a worker on time, which, as we know, is a nisa d'oraisa. You know, so the first part of the Sefer is dealing with laws, halachos, in a straightforward fashion. But the Sefer is actually divided up into three sections, and parts two and three are more along the lines of the hashkafa, the philosophy of chesed, understanding some of the sources that Chazal share with us about chesed, tips for how to become a bigger Baal chesed. And it's to that section of the Sefer, the second and third sections, which talk about sort of the hashkafa, the philosophical underpinnings of chesed, which I thought we would devote ourselves, you know, in these next couple of weeks and months. And hopefully, it will not simply be an enlightening course of study from an intellectual point of view, but hopefully it can rub off on all of us. Mostly myself, but anyone else who wants to, you know, become a better person is certainly welcome to try to clue in. You know, what we can learn in trying to strengthen ourselves in terms of chesed, because as we're going to see in the first couple of shiurim, chesed is not just another nice thing to do, but chesed is key to the very world itself, as the Chofetz Chaim is going to explain, is founded on the cornerstone of chesed. All right, so that's just a little bit of an introduction in terms of the Sefer. And again, I'm looking forward to what, God willing, will be an exciting act of learning, but, you know, one which is maybe a day maisa, that hopefully will translate from learning into action in many, many ways as well. Getting a hold of the Sefer. So there are different editions of the Sefer. One is the Hebrew only version of the Sefer. Feldheim, a number of years ago, published an English translation of Ahavas Chesed. I'm not aware, there may be a Feldheim edition which is both Hebrew and English. As of now, I'm not aware of one, but there might be one out there. I'll try to take a look and see if I can find it. If people are interested in either the Hebrew or the English, you can let me know after the class finishes, and I'll see if I can, you know, work out a deal with one of the Machrei Sfarim you know, to see if they can get a bunch of svarim that people are willing to purchase. I'm going to try to present the shiur in such a way so that, on the one hand, if you have the sefer in front of you, it will be helpful. But on the other hand, if you prefer just to listen, a lot of what we're going to do, I'm not going to just simply read and translate. I'm going to try to present the ideas, you know, also quote unquote outside of the sefer. So the sefer, I think, will be helpful. But if you prefer to just listen, that's also okay. You know, whatever works for people. I wanted to start tonight by sharing a couple of thoughts that the Chafetz Chaim has in his psicha, in his introduction to Sefer Ahavas Chesed, and then, depending on how long it takes us to do that, we'll see how long it takes us, I actually wanted to get a little bit into the beginning of the second section of Sefer Ahavas Chesed, where he gives some very, very unique insights into the role that Chesed plays in the world at large. The Chofetz Chaim in his psicha, in his introduction, quotes a statement that the Gemara makes in the Sechta Sota. Sechta Sota, the Gemara writes, Darash Rebbe Simloi, one of the sages in the Talmud, gave the following drasha. He said, Torah Tchilasa Gemilus Chasadim, V'Sofa Gemilus Chasadim. The Torah begins with Chesed, and the Torah ends with Chesed. The Torah begins with Chesed, as we read just 2 weeks ago in Parshas Bereishis, that God made clothing for Adam and Chava. Vayach Hashem Elokim la'Adam l'Yishlo kotnas or v'yalbishem. God took clothing and gave it to Adam and Chava, who had no clothing. So he clothed those who needed it. That's an act of Chesed. And at the very end of Chumash, which we also read, you know, just 2 weeks ago, so Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. God Himself buries Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else knows where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. So God Himself buries Moshe Rabbeinu. The act of burying or taking care of someone's burial, providing for their needs, is an incredible act of Chesed. Thus says Rebbe Simloi, the Torah opens with Chesed, and it closes with Chesed, just to give you a sense of how central Chesed is from the Torah's perspective. Chofetz Chaim quotes this. Again, this is a statement from the Gemara in Sota. So Chofetz Chaim says, you shouldn't think that all that Chazal mean by this statement is that there is a little nod towards Chesed in the beginning of the Torah, and then as the Torah is about to close, there's a little nod to Chesed at the end of the Torah. This is not like acknowledgement, you know, at a dinner or in a book or something like that, where, you know, there's a little acknowledgement in the beginning, a little thank you at the end, but the content is totally removed from any discussion of Chesed. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you have to realize what Chazal mean over here is that Chesed permeates the Torah from beginning to end. Right. In other words, from the get go, the Torah opens up with Chesed, it ends with Chesed, and there's Chesed every single place in between the beginning and end. And the Chofetz Chaim doesn't just say this as a, you know, a nice idea and then, okay, let's move on. Chofetz Chaim says, let me show you how Chesed is to be found in every aspect of the Torah. And he starts in Parshas Bereishis. God makes a shidduch for Adam HaRishon. Right? And he just goes, Bereishis, Noah, Lech Lecha, Vayera. He goes through all of the parashas, basically through, midway through Shmos, finding a nugget of Chesed in every one of those parashiyos. And at a certain point, after doing this for a number of pages, the Chofetz Chaim says as follows, Achakach Hitzponanti. After I just spent 3-4 pages telling you how you can find Chesed in, you know, every single parasha running through the Torah, after I wrote all of this, it occurred to me, Sheb'emes ein keitz l'inyanei ha-chesed sheyesh b'Torah. The truth is, what I did in a certain sense was just the tipa shibayam, it was a drop in the ocean. Because really, there's no end to the number of chasadim, or the amount of chesed that exists in the Torah. And then he goes on to say, let's just forget about what I was talking about up till now. The story part of Chumash, I mean, the stories basically run from Bereishis through the middle of Shmos. Besides all the stories in Torah that are suffused with Chesed, look at so many mitzvahs which are involved in Chesed. All of the different parts of the field that have to be given to the ani, to the poor person, the whole idea of Shemitah, about allowing the land in Eretz Yisrael to lie fallow in the seventh year, is all about Shemitah. Hashavas Avedo, giving back a lost object, helping somebody whose donkey is stumbling under his load, etc., etc., etc. He says, look, the Torah from beginning to end is all about chesed, to the point where it's almost pointless to actually enumerate the number of times, because chesed is just such an integral part of what the Torah is all about. In a little bit, we'll come back and discuss why that might be so. In other words, why is it that chesed is so integral to what the Torah says? Till we do that, I actually want to focus on one of the examples that the Chofetz Chaim gives, because what he says is actually subject to a dispute between the Chofetz Chaim and one of his rabbinic contemporaries, the Netziv of Volozhin, as we'll see in just a few moments. And it actually, I think, sets the stage in a very nice way for discussing the role that Chesed plays in the world. So if you can think all the way back to last week's parsha, Parshas Noach, right, that, from here on in we'll refer to it as the parsha of the October snowstorm. Right, the height of the Mabul. So, in Parshas Noach, writes the Chofetz Chaim, I'll give you an example of Chesed. The God of Parshas Noach, Shesipra Lono Atara. There's a story at the end of Parshas Noach where, after the flood, Noach says, "Wow, that was something. Let me have a drink." Right, so Noach has a drink. Vayesh v'ayayin vayishkar. He drinks from the wine which he produced. Again, it seems like no one had ever had wine before. He didn't quite grasp that having wine in excess, or even not in excess, having wine would produce drunkenness. Noach drinks from the wine by Yishkar, he becomes inebriated, by Yiskal b'sacharlo, he uncovers himself. And of course, the pasuk goes on to say, by Kach Shem v'Yefes is Hasimla, two of his sons, Shem and Yefes, take a blanket, by Yosimu Ashechem Shenehem, they walk backwards, so they don't have to see Noach in his state of being uncovered. They put the blankets or the piece of clothing upon him, and that's considered to be a tremendous act of kibbutz, that here they were willing to cover him to make sure that he wouldn't be degraded in such a fashion. And even while they were doing it, they were careful to preserve his dignity by walking it backwards and putting the simla on top of it. Comments to Chofetz Chaim, this is an act of chesed. Why is it an act of chesed? So he writes, Shelo hayu mitzuvim al zeh, because Shem and Yefes were actually not commanded to do what they did. Shem and Yefes are non-Jews. Non-Jews only have sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. They have seven mitzvahs which they're commanded. In this particular case, they were actually literally b'nei Noach, right? It was the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach because they were literally the sons of Noach. And if you go through the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, there's no mention of kibud av v'aim, of honoring parents. There's no mention of human dignity. There's no mention of trying to cover up human nakedness, which is exposed in any way. So says the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, but Gili Arayis means, not to have an act of intimacy. I mean, it doesn't. But what they did, in other words, what they did to cover, to cover him up, that's not included in Gili Arayis. So says the Chofetz Chaim, Shem v'Yefes, technically speaking, had no obligation to do what they did. Had they said, we don't care, so let him lie there. Had they said that, Hashem could not have had a taina on them. Unbelievable, right? Says the Chofetz Chaim, they were not obligated to do what they did. Ki ein zeh misheva mitzvos bnei Noach, because the notion, whatever they did exactly, the obligation to cover over their father, to preserve his dignity, kibud av v'aim, whatever it is, that's not one of the sheva mitzvos bnei Noach. V'rak mitzad midas ha-chesed. What they did was entirely an act of chesed. Chofetz Chaim seems to understand that chesed means doing, at least in this context, doing something above and beyond the letter of the law, because it's proper and decent, even if it's not necessarily something which is obligatory. They acted a way of chesed, which displays the character trait of chesed, even though they weren't actually doing something which they were obligated to do.
Okay,
So Sefer Chofetz Chaim, for sure, Goyim can do chesed. But it's very interesting, the Chofetz Chaim also seems to be saying at the same breath that a non-Jew is not obligated to do chesed. Right? That, in other words, that sums up the Chofetz Chaim's perspective over here. Shem and Yafet are credited by the fact that they did chesed. It's to their credit that they did chesed. It's a good thing. You know, it's not neutral. But at the same time, they were not obligated in chesed because, right, the Chofetz Chaim, chesed is not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The obligation to do chesed is something uniquely Jewish, even as we recognize that the positive value of doing chesed is something which certainly is related to anyone in the world. In this particular edition of the Sefer Havas Chesed, it has footnotes from I think his name is Rabbi David Zicherman, if I'm not mistaken. He has footnotes that he entitles Makar HaChesed, and in his footnotes he points out that the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Haskama to Sefer Chofetz Chaim, seems to argue on this point. Let's just give a little biographical information over here, and then we'll talk about the machlokes, the dispute that seems to exist between the Chofetz Chaim on the one hand and the Netziv of Voloshin on the other hand. So the Netziv of Voloshin of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin was the last Rosh Yeshiva, the famous Voloshin Yeshiva in Lithuania, and unfortunately the Yeshiva closed under his tenure when the Russian government insisted that they have secular studies from 9 to 3 every day, and only after 3 o'clock would they be allowed to actually learn Torah. So the Netziv, after consulting with the Gedolei Hador at that time, basically said, look, to keep the Yeshiva open under those circumstances, it's not worth it, so they closed down the yeshiva. The yeshiva had been considered the preeminent yeshiva in Lithuania up until its closing, I think in the 1880s, if I'm not mistaken. And the Tziv himself died very soon thereafter, brokenhearted, that the yeshiva that he put his entire life into basically closed under such terrible circumstances. The Netziv himself obviously was an older contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim passed away some 50 years later, 1933. So, as was customary at the time, when the Chofetz Chaim came out with Sefer Avos Chesed, he turned to the Gedolei Hador, the great rabbinic leaders of the generation, to provide haskamas, to provide letters at the beginning of the book that would indicate that they felt this was a worthwhile Sefer. So haskamas, as you may know, come in two flavors. There's one type of haskama that reads something as follows. I saw the book. I didn't really have time to read the book, but I know the author, and he's a wonderful person, a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham. Mesama, whatever he wrote in the book is good, and you should read it. That's one flavor of haskama. And unfortunately, whatever it is, those tend to be the more common types of haskamas that are out there. When the Netziv was asked to write a haskama to Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he didn't just write, I know him, I didn't read the Sefer, but it's very, I'm sure whatever he wrote is very good. The Netziv wrote in a 2.5-page essay as an introduction to Sefer Chofetz Chaim all about the concept of chesed. So this is not just a vanilla haskama, yes, a nice sefer, it's good, you should read it, you should buy it. It was part of the esteem that the Netziv no doubt had for the Chofetz Chaim, who was younger than him, but he nonetheless recognized, and he starts off describing him, the Netziv describes the Chofetz Chaim as Asher Hu Me Hasridim. He's one of the few unique individuals, Asher Hashem Korei Lehoir LaKochavim, that God causes these few select individuals like the Chofetz Chaim to shine like the stars for Klal Yisrael, Derech Misha Chofetz Chaim Beradim, in order to enable those people among the masses who want to find life to be able to walk by the light of this particular star. Right, I mean, that's pretty high praise. That's a good haskalah. He could have stopped right there, and that would have been a good haskalah. But then he wrote another two and a half pages about the concept of chesed. In his haskalah to Sefer Avos Chesed, the Netziv writes that the emes klal gemilus chasadim hu kiyum ha'olam. You should know that gemilus chasadim is what sustains the world. So, who chovas ha'adam, and that is the obligation that man has, not Jews, that is the obligation that man has, v'zehut surasa, which I think best translates as, and this is part of the basic makeup of a human being, that a human being is a baal chesed. Right? In other words, it's not just something external to a person. Part of being human is being a baal chesed. And he brings a fascinating source to follow up with this idea. He writes, you know, it's interesting, we found in Parshas Bereishis, after Adam and Chava are created, right, so they have children. How many children? So at least we're told about in the Chumash, leaving aside the Mamari Chazal that talk about the birth of sisters, in the Chumash itself we find that they had two sons, Cain and Heva, right? Why did they have, eventually they have Sheth, but you know, initially they have Cain and Heva. Why did God make it that they had Davka, two sons that are mentioned in the, you know, in the Chumash? I mean, L'chara, God could have made it such a way that they just would have had one son, and he would have married his sister, and mankind would have continued from that. So it says in its Siv, it was part of the divine plan that Adam and Chava would have two sons that are mentioned in the Chumash. Because God wanted to bring home to mankind that people need to be Bali Chesed. You can only be Bali Chesed if you have someone else. It takes two to tango, right? In other words, you need somebody else to be the recipient of Chesed. So from the get-go, God created the first people who were born into the world, living aside Adam and Chava, who were fashioned by God himself, but the first people who were born in a natural process of childbirth, there had to be more than one person born initially. There had to be siblings from the get-go, because siblings teach the idea of chesed. Right, so chesed went awry from the beginning, unfortunately, right? But from the get-go, the plan was that the presence of siblings would create chesed. And he has a beautiful diuk in the pasuk. Says the Nitziv, and says the Nitziv, by the way, the Nitziv wrote a commentary on Chumash, the HaMikdavah. Says the Nitziv, if you look in my HaMikdavah, you'll see that I explain the pasuk as follows. He says that it says that Chava gave birth to Cain, Fatosef Loledes es Achiv es Hevel. She continued to give birth to Cain's brother, to Hevel. So after Nitziv, that phrase, Es Achiv, his brother, is totally extraneous. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if she first gave birth to Cain, and then she gave birth to Hevel, so guess what? You know, Hevel is the brother of Cain, right? I mean, you know, even if she didn't take genealogy in college, you know, that much you could probably figure out. So, what's that?
You get the word for brother.
Oh, so says that it says a beautiful thing. So it says that it says, so why does it say Es Achiv? Why does it say his brother? So he says, Shebalu Amed Shehumi Prote Surat HaAdam. The word his brother tells you that what's being described over here, the notion of brotherhood, is fundamental to man's character. Uvemashu Mishuna Mitzurat Kol Avruim. And this is what distinguishes man or human beings from animals, from all other creations. The notion of brotherhood is supposed to be built in to the human condition. So in other words, the reason that God created a Cain and then a Hevel was not just, oh, you know, let's have another one, right? But there had to be an idea of brotherhood that would be implanted in man from the very beginning, because brotherhood, the notion that there's a chesed relationship which is forged between people, is supposed to be part of the very makeup of mankind. Now, it's ironic, again, it's pointed out, that in this particular case, chesed didn't really work out. I mean, what was really implanted in mankind was sibling rivalry in a really big way, right? But nonetheless, the plan is that chesed was supposed to be implanted in human beings, and there's a tremendous lesson in it too, which it doesn't make explicit, but unfortunately we also need to hear it. Chesed begins between siblings. Chesed begins in the family. Right? In other words, the family unit is supposed to be the building block of chesed. The family is supposed to be functional and a a unit that operates with chesed, and then from the family we extrapolate outwards and say, okay, the family is functioning in a manner of chesed, so then we're supposed to do chesed with others as well. But the idea of chesed begins at home. I mean, to paraphrase a well-known phrase, chesed begins at home, and that idea was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to implant in the very beginning, Vatosef Loledet et Achiv et Hevel, the idea of achva, of brotherly ties, was supposed to be there from the get-go in order to allow the idea of chesed to sink in to to that first human family. We'll see, by the way, eventually, when it comes to, let's say, tzedaka, right? There's a concept based on a pasuk, mitzaracho al tifalein, don't forget about your family members, which, you know, it's literally true in halacha. Charity begins at home, but that's really true halachically. In other words, you know, if you have money to spend on a stranger or on a relative who desperately needs the money, halacha says, give the money to the relative who needs the money, because you're supposed to start stock at home. That fits in with the very paradigm of creation, because from the very get-go, chesed is supposed to be something which is based in the family. And again, it's something, unfortunately, people oftentimes need reminders of. I mean, unfortunately, how often do you have a person, yeah, I'm running to do this, and I'll help out this one, and I'll help out that one, and everything like that. And meanwhile, the kids are neglected, never at home. You know, what's for supper, mommy? You take something out of the freezer, it's fine. Where are you running? Because I have to give dinner to this one, I have to give a dinner to that one, I have to help with this one, help out that one. All right, you know, it's very, very good. But the first priority in chesed, you know, is to start with family members, as you see from the migrations, from the very story of creation itself, that the chesed starts with the brotherhood that was supposed to exist, you know, between Cain and Hevel, but unfortunately never went anywhere. As the Netziv, right, more, says the Netziv, Umishum hachi gam umos ha'olam mitzuvim al gnilus chasadim. The Netziv makes explicit his argument with the Chafetz Chaim. Says the Netziv, I want you to know that non-Jews are also commanded, not just encouraged, non-Jews are also commanded to engage in acts of chesed. Right? I'm sorry? He says the Dovah Pashut, right? Since chesed is such an important part of the human makeup, it's not just something which is restricted to Jews, it's something that was given to Cain and Hevel from the very get-go. A non-Jew, says that it's if it's obligated in the notion of doing chesed. Not just encouraged, not just it's a nice thing, like we saw from the Chofetz Chaim, but according to the Netziv, what Shem and Yefes did in protecting the covenant of their father, the chesed that they did, was actually an obligation which they had, and not just a nice thing. And in fact, says the Netziv, that explains a story in the Chumash, which is coming up not this week, but next week, the story of Sodom and Amorah, right? Why were Sodom and Amorah destroyed? Right? So they were sinful. They were sinful. So what did they do? Right? So, I mean, all of the stories... So all of the stories that we have from Chazal basically describe the Anshei Sodom as being people who lacked in chesed. Right? In other words, we don't find stories about how they were murderers. I mean, again, they killed from time to time as a judicial punishment for somebody being a Baal Chesed. But in other words, we don't find stories depicting them as being evil, that they were murderers, or they were, chronic adulterers, or Ovdei Avodah Zarah, or anything like that. You know, the description which we find in Chazal about how they deserve, you know, the terrible punishment that they got, is that they made laws that you shouldn't give tzedakah to beggars on the street. They made laws that you shouldn't take in people, you shouldn't have achnasas arachim. You know, when Lot takes the malachim into his house, he has to do it very surreptitiously, because, you know, there's a law against taking strangers into the house and doing chasadim with them in that way. Those are all the things we know about Sodom. So, after Netziv, if a non-Jew is not obligated to do chesed, okay, so they weren't nice. You don't destroy five cities because they're not nice. Right? In other words, if their lack of doing chesed was not that they violated any particular mitzvah, it's just, okay, they weren't as nice as they could have been. All right, but, you know, fire and brimstone, you know, destroying five cities, that's an awful lot of punishment for people who are just, they're not nice, right? It must be more than that. Says the Netziv, the very destruction of Sodom and Amorah and the sins that Chazal associate with Sodom and Amor, the lack of chesed, would seem to indicate that chesed for a non-Jew is not just a nice thing, but it's actually an imperative. It's actually a mitzvah that the person has to do, and that the non-Jew is going to be punished for the lack of chesed. Right? So that's the notes to the bottom of this edition of the Avos Chesed, the Makor Chesed, points out that, you know, the Netziv and the Chofetz Chaim seem to be arguing on this point. What is the obligation of a non-Jew vis-a-vis chesed? The Chofetz Chaim holds that, of course, a non-Jew can do chesed and is commended for the chesed that he or she does, but it's not an obligation. The Netziv very, very clearly, I mean, it doesn't beat around the bush, the Netziv says very, very clearly that a non-Jew is obligated in chesed as well, and that a non-Jew is going to be punished if the non-Jew doesn't do chesed in a way which is acceptable. It's just interesting to note in that vein, there's a very interesting comment that Moshe Zatzal has in one of his tshuvas, which is very reminiscent of this idea of the Netziv. I don't think he quotes the Netziv, but he says something very, very similar in a slightly different context. The Gemara makes it very, very clear that only Jews are obligated in kibud av va'em, are obligated in honoring one's parents. Right, the Gemara makes that abundantly clear. The Gemara talks about the famous case of Dama ben Nesina, right, the non-Jew who showed tremendous honor to his parents. And the Gemara, in discussing Dama ben Nesina, makes the point explicitly that what he did was so great precisely because he wasn't obligated in kibud av va'em. Precisely because he was non-Jewish and not obligated, that's what made his acts of devotion to his parents so special and so commendable and so praiseworthy, etc., etc. So it's very, very clear from Chazal that a non-Jew is not obligated to kibud av va'em. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe and the Tshuva writes that he thinks that all that means is that a non-Jew is not obligated to go to the extraordinary extremes that a Jew would be obligated to go to in order to observe kibud av va'em. Right, I mean, just to give a famous example of that, they tell the story of a fellow who once came to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, and he said, you know, I live in this part of Poland, my father lives in a town in Poland, you know, many, many miles away. And, you know, to get there, I would have to buy a train ticket. And we know that the Gemara tells us that you're not obligated to spend money on kibud av va'em. So am I obligated to buy a train ticket and go visit my father? So says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, you're absolutely not obligated to buy a train ticket. Walk. So, you know, that it just shows you, again, it was a sharp retort, you know, because obviously he said, you know, come on, you know. But you know, the point is that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was bringing out that which is halachically true. In other words, a Jew is obligated to go to extraordinary efforts, even, you know, crazily extraordinary effort in order to show honor to one's parents. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that, you know, that's obviously something which is unique to Jews. Non-Jews don't have to go to extraordinary efforts to show respect to their parents, but nonetheless, kind of, I guess what you'd call basic respect, even a non-Jew is obligated to show to his or her parents. Says Rav Moshe, where do I get that from? The Gemara makes it very clear that kibud av va'em is only incumbent upon Jews, not upon non-Jews. But says Rav Moshe, well, there's a basic idea of hakarat hatov, of being thankful for, when you know, of gratitude. A person who doesn't show any respect for his or her parents is an ingrate. You know, your parents brought you into the world, your parents, you know, raised you and did everything for you. So if you don't show, I mean, again, maybe you don't have to walk from one side of Poland to the next, but if you don't show a basic level of kibud av va'em, you lack in gratitude. And even a non-Jew is obligated to show gratitude. So ask me the next question. So how do I know that a non-Jew is obligated to show gratitude? How do I know that gratitude is an idea which is demanded not only of the Jewish people, but of non-Jewish people? So says Rav Moshe, it's a Gemara. Again, going back to, it all goes back to Parshas Bereishis. In Parshas Bereishis, so when God comes to Adam and says, so what's the story? You know, I gave you one thing you had to be careful about. Just don't eat from the tree, and you couldn't manage with that. So what's Adam's response? Right? He blamed his wife. But not only did he blame his wife, he blamed God. The woman you gave me, God, she gave me the fruit. Right? And Chazal comment that God is very upset at Adam HaRishon for that response. Not just because he blames his wife, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon, you're an ingrate. Right? And I gave you Chava for companionship, you know, as a wonderful present, and here you turn around and, so to speak, you spit in my face. You say, you know, you blame me. You know, if you wouldn't have given me this wife Chava, this whole thing never would have happened. What a lack of gratitude. That's the Gemara says. So says Rav Moshe, you know, if a non-Jew is not obligated to show a sense of gratitude, you know, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a time to tell the Marishon? The very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon, you know, you're wrong to show that lack of gratitude, indicates that gratitude is something which is demanded of humanity at large, not just the Jewish people, but human beings are expected to show a certain degree of gratitude. And Adam HaRishon is held accountable for not showing gratitude. And if Kibud Avraham on some level goes back to that sense of gratitude, even a non-Jew to some extent, says Rav Moshe, is obligated in Kibud Avraham. So that idea that there are certain basic midos, basic character traits, which God demands not only of Jews, but even of non-Jews, that idea is expressed by the Netziv with regard to Chesed, and it's expressed by Rav Moshe with regard to Hakaras HaTov, you know, a sense of gratitude. There are certain attitudes which are, you know, expected from the world at large. Anyway, in any case, coming back to the Netziv for a moment, so the Netziv's idea that Chesed is incumbent upon non-Jews speaks to how integral the Netziv sees Chesed as being. Chesed is what makes a human being a human being. It's not just what makes a Jew a Jew. Chesed is what makes a human being as opposed to an animal, and is basic to being human. Someone who doesn't show Chesed is not a human being in the fullest sense of the term. Because what it means to be human is to be a Baal Chesed. Right, so again, in this one comment from last week's parasha, where the Chofetz Chaim kind of says offhand, well, you know, a non-Jew is not obligated in Chesed because not one of the seven mitzvahs today Noah. It's actually a pretty big machlokas between the Rabbanim of that part, between the Chofetz Chaim and the Netziv, on that point. Either way, they would both agree that Chesed is something very, very integral to humanity, either mamish integral to humanity as per the Netziv, or even according to the Chofetz Chaim, something which is commendable in all of humanity. That's how basic it is. Yeah. Hakaras HaTov is being demanded of Jews. Right? If Moshe's, right, in other words, we should show Hakaras HaTov to the Egyptians because they were our host. But Moshe's point is to say that even a non-Jew is expected to show Hakaras HaTov.
But that's why the other group, he said, because they didn't show any.
Right, exactly. The Moabim and the Ammonim, yeah, right, showed lack of Chesed.
Right.
So again, you know, Chesed, right, so Chesed is something which is expected, you know, even of the non-Jewish world, you know, as per the pasuk itself. That's why the Ammonim and Moabim, even after they convert, you know, are not allowed to marry, you know, someone who's a born Jewish woman because of the lack of chesed, you know, which was endemic to those people, to Ammon and to Moab.
According to the Chofetz Chaim, is milut chesed above Talmud Torah?
We'll see how they go together. He's going to spend some time, we're not going to get to it tonight, right? But he's going to spend some time talking about how Talmud Torah is good, the Talmud Torah with Gemilas Chasadim is even better, and we'll give some of the Talmud Torah to Neged Kulam. Right, right. So the question deserves more than a short answer because he's going to spend some time talking about that, so maybe we'll get to it when we get to it, but you know, we'll see that he has a lot to talk about the relationship between Torah on the one hand and Chesed on the other hand.
Okay. meaning that chesed is defined as listening mashuyah tzedin. So like,
well,
it's not going to be in scope of command.
Right. So in that context, the Chofetz Chaim refers to chesed in those kind of terms, the context of shem v'yefet, mostly because I think there... We'll see. Now, the Chofetz Chaim defines chesed as a mitzvah. Not just... And we're going to see there's specific examples of chesed. Again, in our terminology, sometimes we say chesed in the sense of a nice thing to do, but not obligatory. But many, many acts of chesed are real chiyuvim, are real obligations. In other words, just to give an example, the Chofetz Chaim spends a lot of time talking about the laws of giving people loans. And that's the mitzvah of the Torah, in kesef talveh etzami. And that is considered to be an act of chesed, al kedei kach, what the loan society called a gemach. Gemach, kinyos hakodim. Right? Not just like a nice, it doesn't translate as a nice society to do things we really don't have to do but want to feel good about, right? That, you know, that's not what gemach means. Gemach means a society which enables you to do the mitzvah of gemilas chasodim in this case. That's culled from the psicha, what we just spoke about now is culled from the psicha, the introduction of the Chofetz Chaim to Sefer Avos Chesed. As I mentioned at the outset, I wanted to start the Sefer itself going through the beginning of the second section of Avos Chesed, where again he talks about the philosophical underpinnings of what Chesed is all about. And here he quotes a pasuk from Micha, which he says really is a key, an insight into understanding the whole idea of Chesed. Micha says, Micha Perek Vav Pasuk Ches, Higid lecha Adam Matov, man, God has told you what is good. Uma Hashem Doresh Mimcha, and God has told you what He wants from you. What does God want from you? By the way, just in the pasuk itself, Higid lecha Adam, right? Not that, oh man, God has told you what He wants from you. According to the Mitzvah, right? So the word Adam is understood very, very literally. It refers to every human being. Adam doesn't just mean, you know, Jews, but it means human beings at large. Right? It fits into the Nitziv's idea. So mankind, God has told you what He wants from you. And the end of the pasuk is, God wants from you three things. You should do justice, you should love kindness, and you should walk modestly with God. The Chofetz Chaim is puzzled by the word ahavas chesed, love of loving kindness. Because says the Chofetz Chaim, you really could have written the pasuk in the following way without really doing damage to the idea of the pasuk. What does God want from you? He wants that you should do asos mishpat for chesed. God wants you to do justice and kindness. Why does the pasuk have to say God wants you to do justice and to love kindness? Just do kindness. What do you have to love kindness? So the Chofetz Chaim introduces a fascinating idea, and this is the idea, obviously, which he felt was crucial to the book, because he called the book Ahavas Chesed after the pasuk. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's not enough to do chesed. You have to love chesed. So what's the difference between doing chesed and loving chesed? Says the Chofetz Chaim, doing chesed means when a chesed falls into my lap, I'll take care of it. A guy comes knocking on my door and he needs money. All right, you know, I'm a nice guy. I like chesed. I love the mitzvah of doing tzedakah. Fine, you know, I'll write him a nice check, even a nice check. Right? A havas chesed means something more than that. A havas chesed means that you love chesed and you go looking for the opportunities to do chesed. And he gives the example that nafka mina gedola bein dover she'adam otsa mitzad ha'achreach v'dover shu otsa mitzad ho'ahava. We know there's a huge difference in life between those things you do out of necessity versus things that you do out of love. You can be a good citizen and pay all your taxes down to the penny, but I haven't yet met the person who loves to file a tax return. maybe an accountant, I don't know, doing it for a parnasa, right? But, you know, a person says, ah, the IRS, you know, Baruch Hashem for the IRS, right? Even the most patriotic of people, okay, look, I'm a good citizen, I'm an honest person, I'll pay exactly what I have to pay down to the last penny, I'm not going to cheat anybody, but, you know, loving to pay taxes, you know, that's not really in the cards.
Right,
no, 100%. I'm not suggesting that it should be. It's maybe tested to the creditors, right? But just by way of example, in other words, there's certain things we do because we have to do, and we'll do them. You know, it's not that we shirk our responsibilities, but we do what we do because we have to do it, and then the things you do because you love to do it. Consider the following. Hanhaga should call Adam Mitznahegin Binel Dimzanosav of Mabushav and Yisuin Shalom Choldova. When you're dealing with a child, you want to buy your child a new suit, right? Do you say, I have to buy him a suit. Or you go in, you look at it, you know, look at him in the mirror, you know, you try it out. Or, you know, you want to, you know, you take a child out to a restaurant and you want to buy them lunch, right? So do you try to figure out, okay, what's the cheapest way I can get out of here? You know, you really want the extra sauce, you know, or you really want the extra cheese? Or, you know, do you say, look, I enjoy the part, you know, the fact that I'm giving to you, right? Make a chasana for children, right? So, you know, you're not just, let me see what I can get away with. You know, there's a sense, you don't want to go broke, but, you know, at the same time, there's a sense you want to try to make it nice, you know, it's a child, you know, you want it to be as beautiful as it can be. Again, obviously within your budgetary, within your budgets, but, you know, you're not gonna walk over to some abandoned lot, cut down some dandelions, you know, and bring them in for the centerpieces, you know, in the wedding hall. You know, you're trying to make it reasonably nice. When you love something or somebody, you go a little bit above and beyond. You're not just trying to fulfill your basic obligation, right? So, came mamish be'inyan zeshel chesed. That's the way it is with chesed. It's not just that we do chesed, we love chesed. Kishe'adam yi'elo ava l'mida zav, when you love chesed, yi'yem chateis b'chol kocho, eich la'atot chesed in chaveiro. You'll look with all of your might to find opportunities to do chesed with your fellow man. And you won't be stingy with the chesed because you love the opportunity to be able to do the chesed. That's the notion of a havas chesed. Now, where does Right, well, mitzvah ve'osa means that when you're obligated to do something, there's a natural tendency to want to push back, right? See, here, on the one hand, I guess the fact that you're mitzvah ve'osa to do chesed means there's a natural tendency to push back, but the Chassam said you should resist that. In other words, what you should aim for is not just to do chesed, but to love chesed, to be proactive in looking for the opportunities to do chesed.
It's a natural thing when you think of something nice to do.
Right.
Like
right. But here again, you know, we're going to see time and time again, chesed means not just the nice things, but the obligatory things. In other words, the obligation, there's plenty of obligatory chesed even before you get to the nice things, you know, and we're supposed to be proactive in looking for those opportunities. So based on that, the Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful pshat in davening, you know, a tefillah which we say every day, but, you know, takes on a new light in light of what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom, Tovo, Vracho, Chen, Vachet, Zerachem, Imolein, Vachal, Yisrael, Amecha, Vachenu, Avinu, Kulonu, Ke'echad, Bi'ar, Panecha. Ki Va'ar, Panecha, Nasas, Olonu, Hashem, Elokeinu, Torah, Chayim, V'ahavas, Chesed. That phrase, which again is originally from the Pasuk in Micha, Ahavas Chesed, the love of loving kindness, when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Brach of Sim Shalom, they took that phrase of Ahavas Chesed and they made it part of Sim Shalom. So what does that phrase mean? I mean, we say it every day, right? So what does that mean? Ki Va'ar Panecha Nasas Olonu Hashem Elokeinu, Taras Chayim V'ahavas Chesed. Literal translation, through the light of your face, you gave to us, Hashem, a Torah of life and a love of chesed. That sounds really beautiful. What on earth does that mean? Through the light of your face, you gave to us a Torah of life and a love of chesed. We should learn. We should do chesed. Okay. What does it mean in the light, through the light of your face, the light of your countenance? It sounds better, right? Through the light of your countenance, you gave to us, O Hashem, a Torah of life and a love of chesed. So Chofetz Chaim says the following. And again, I think this is, it's just a simple pshat in the tefillah, but you never think about it because we're just trained to say it from the time we were children. We don't, oftentimes don't think about it beyond the literal translation. What is the light of God's face? So says the Chofetz Chaim, that refers to the giving of the Torah. Right. That refers to the giving of the Torah. When you, God, what's the light of your face? When you revealed yourself to us in the greatest fashion, when did God present His greatest revelation? At Har Sinai. Right, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Medrash from Chazal that when God gave the Torah at Har Sinai, He ripped open the seven heavens and showed the Jewish people, you know, He gave them a straight view all the way up into the seventh heaven. What does that mean exactly? I have no idea. But, you know, what it means on some level is that the Jewish people experienced a revelation of God's presence at Har Sinai in a way which was unparalleled. Right? Okay. So, kiva'ar panecha, when you illuminated your face, meaning when you revealed yourself to us in a way in which we saw you, in a way in which we never saw you before. So when you illuminated your face, you gave us a Torah of life. If you just stop the phrase there, it makes perfect sense. When you revealed yourself at Maimon Har Sinai, you gave us the Torah. Good. At Har Sinai, you gave us Ahavas Chesed. At Har Sinai, that's when you gave us this trait to want to love Chesed. Now, why is
it implicit in the Torah?
Okay, on one level, yes, right? But the Chofetz Chaim is saying more than that, because if all it means is that the love of Chesed is implicit in the Torah, so, right, Kivar Benavar Tafalonu Hashem Elokeinu Torah Chaim. And Torah Chaim includes many, many things, among which is Ahavas Chesed. Apparently, Ahavas Chesed is something that God revealed to us in Har Sinai, but it's still distinct from the Torah itself. So, listen to what he says. Od nisbarer lohem oz ba'otso maimer hakadosh. At that holy convocation, as they stood at the foot of Har Sinai, the Jewish people were shown eich sheha'odom starek lezof achar midas hachesed. They were shown by Hashem how man's role in life is to pursue chesed, the lehol v'tamida hazol b'chol nafsho, and to love this trait of chesed with every fiber of his body. Why? Why was that revealed at Har Sinai? Ki hisboninu oz beruach kodshom alma omedes habriya. Because God showed the Jews, when God ripped open the heavens at Maimon Har Sinai, and He showed them all the way up to the top. It wasn't just that He was showing them incredible things about God. He revealed to them the secrets of creation, or at least some secrets of creation. And one of the secrets of creation, which He made obvious to the Jews at that time, is, you know what keeps the world going? The world is sustained by chesed. Like the Nitziv wrote in his comments to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, from the get-go, the world was created by God with chesed. Because, you know what, says the Chofetz Chaim, as he goes on to explain, if the world didn't have an element of God's chesed, we wouldn't stand a chance. We're only here. If God judged us bedin, with justice, for what we deserve, we wouldn't make it. We're only here because God judges us with chesed, with loving kindness, and He gives us things that we don't really deserve. So the very world itself depends on chesed. If you really absorb the idea that the world depends on chesed, which says the Chofetz Chaim is what God showed the Jewish people at Maimon Har Sinai, ki hisboninu oz beruach kodshom alma omedes habriya, the Jewish people at that holy point at Har Sinai, they understood what was keeping the world going, the glue that keeps the world going. I don't know, the glue that keeps the world together, right? The battery that keeps the world going. Mixed metaphors, right? The battery that keeps the world going is chesed. B'sigu ech shekola mitzias kula kiyuma o parnasasa, he tuli rak b'chazda yisbar shemali kol ha'aretz. And the whole world is being sustained how? By God's chesed. So if the whole world is based on chesed, then our doing chesed is imperative to the world, to our definition as human beings, as person itself. Chesed is not just one of those things that's out there that's nice to do. Chesed is everything. So if you really understood that chesed is everything, you would love chesed with every fiber of your being. I mean, lahavdil. Let's say a person who thinks the world is all about money. Right? The world is all about making money. So if you really feel that, I mean, you're deluded, but I mean, if you really feel that, you love making money, right? Because if you feel that existence is really about a certain element, you will love that beyond anything else. When the Jewish people realized at Har Sinai that the world is a God chesed, they developed, and we still try to develop it, but at that moment, they developed this love of chesed, because how could you not? Realizing that everything is chesed. So that pshat in Shmona Esrei. That's the Chofetz Chaim. Kivar ponach nefach olanu Hashem Elokeinu, taras chayim v'yahavas chesed. When you revealed the Torah, and you revealed your face to us, Hashem, and your face shone, and now we could see somewhat who you are, you gave us the Torah, and at that same time you gave us this incredible love of chesed.
What is chesed?
Did
you say chesed?
Right. Well, not every mitzvah is chesed, but many, many mitzvahs involve chesed. So in other words, to take those examples, tzedakah is a form of chesed, right? So we should not just observe tzedakah when it comes our way, but being that tzedakah is a mitzvah of chesed, we should be actively looking for opportunities to do tzedakah. Right? And if Haknasas Larsam is a mitzvah, it's not just, well, you know, somebody calls me up and I'll stick him in, right? But we should be actively, proactively looking for opportunities to be Machnas Lareyah, right? Now that's not true with all mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs are very finite, Lamashal, right? Lulav and Esrog, right? Okay, so I'm supposed to buy Lulav and Esrog and I'm supposed to shake it on Sukkot. If a guy came to me, I mean, he'd probably get a cheaper price than a little of an Esrog now than a couple of weeks ago, but if a guy came to me tomorrow and said, you know, I love Lulav and Esrog. I love, every morning I'm going to, you know, shake a little of an Esrog. Or a guy says, I love the Mitzvah Shelfa. Right? Every morning I want to start off with the Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah. I don't want to be his neighbor, right? But, you know, certain mitzvahs are finite. It doesn't make sense to do the mitzvah beyond a certain amount. Chesed is something which is always appropriate. You know, there's never a limit. I mean, there may be limits on what we're able to do and our priorities and our time and all of that, but, you know, there's never a limit on the notion of doing chesed. There's never a bad time for chesed. You know, this is something which proactively we're supposed to try to involve in our lives as much as, you know, as we reasonably can. So it's even though chesed, you know, is certain mitzvahs, but those mitzvahs, not every mitzvah has that quality of chesed that we're proactively running, you know, to try to do it as frequently as we possibly can.
We didn't call time to ride that from the Chumash.
Yeah.
This is what the Jews saw, and especially
with the rule
of
Moshe. How does he understand that? I mean,
where
did it come from? Well, he seems to relate it. I mean, he quotes. Where did the Chofetz Chaim get the source from that what they saw was the centrality of Chesed? So, I think ultimately his source is the Tefillah. I think you can ask me now, so where does Chazal know that from? But I guess Chazal, according to the Chofetz Chaim, know it mitzvah, it's logical. In other words, if indeed the greatest revelation that ever took place was Maimed Har Sinai, it stands to reason that God not only gave us the Torah, but he gave us certain truths about the way the world functions. Again, the Chofetz Chaim understands that that's what Chazal is saying when he ripped open the Shiva Rikia, you know, the seven different heavens. You know, and once you assume that, and once you understand that chesed is basic to the world's existence, no. So I'm saying, where do you get it from? So once you understand that chesed is basic to the world's existence, so it's not a big jump to say that the very centrality of Chesed was something that God revealed to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Now, again, as I mentioned at the outset, Chofetz Chaim says a lot of things that sound very simple and nice on the surface, but I mean, you're right, it's a tremendous Kiddush, right? It's a tremendously novel idea. I think ultimately, again, part of its source may be the tefillah. Ki v'ar panecha nesat alonu Hashem elokeinu taras chayim v'havet
tefillah.
Right, right. Something like that, right. But another, you're right, it's a novel way of looking at the tefillah, but it works. In other words, if you put the pieces together, you know, it really gives us a perspective of chesed, which is really, you know, it's a lot different than just bringing a mitzvah note tomorrow and, you know, we'll give you a check, right? I mean, 100%. Keep it up, amen.
The other way around, the mitzvah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, right? So, but, you know, but this idea of loving chesed, running after chesed, and that's part of the revelation. That was given to the Jews by Maimon Har Sinai, that they should recognize that there's such a thing as Ahavas Chesed. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's what you're saying every day in Shemoneh Esrei. You didn't realize it, but that's what you're saying every day in Shemoneh Esrei. That Ahavas Chesed is basic, you know, is as basic as to the revelation as the giving of the Torah itself was.
In other words, we're not thinking that Mitzvah is to follow the Mitzvah.
It goes on to more.
Well, the idea of a Ahavas Chesed is first in Mitzvah. Right. The Chofetz Chaim says, again, I compressed it a little bit, but he says, if you look in the Pasuk in Mitzvah, He gives lecha adam matov. It's been told to you what's good. Right? So that also, right. Now, this is something which was revealed to you in terms of its value. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem will pick up. Let me know if you're interested in ordering a sefer either in Hebrew or in English. I'll try to put together. Okay. And, you know, Be'ez Hashem will pick up next time. I'll see how many farm I can get in. As far as I know, if there's a Hebrew English, I'll try to get a hold of it. I know Feldheim has an English. I haven't seen a Feldheim Hebrew English, although maybe there is one. A lot of the. Like a faith thing. Yeah. Arsenal for sure. No. Feldheim did an English one. Feldheim might have a Hebrew English. I have to take a look and see. I've seen the English. There's an article, Loving Kindness, that was put out by the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. That's an adaptation of this. It's actually a official Shechter Shiurim on Ahavas Chesed, so it's a rework. But Feldheim has a translation, you know, like the real actual say for itself. Let me know, we'll pick up Be'ez Hashem next week at 8 o'clock.